Pints and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. Tights and Vibes Podcast. Tights and Vibes.
Whoa, whoa, it's WrestleMania. Fighting to survive, just like that, just like that. Welcome to a special WrestleMania Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves, including that song, which sounds like instructions for a lover. I'm yo-hal, a wrestling life for me, the just like that part. And I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the melanin mafiosa, Danielle Radford.
Yeah, definitely taking that straight to the bank. Thank you very much.
And
this is my Brukel Kitty!
It's even better live because there's more shouting. Lindsay Kelk.
You mad?
Some songs are better when they're just recorded and you listen to them over a speaker rather than having the band there to crank everything up to 15 and shout into a mic. And then you go like, oh, I understand what people say. Listen, I listened to a lot of heavy metal when I was like 12 to 14, but now I understand what everybody said when they were like, that's just yelling and noise. When that happens, that's just yelling and noise.
You know what? For me, it was the opposite. She didn't commit enough. It felt like a half-hearted karaoke performance where she did not commit enough. She should have been on her knees screaming this was her Brukel Kitty. And then, I mean, that would have made it better anyway, sure. But she should have fully committed. I don't think she committed enough. You got to go all in on if you're going to scream a Rhea Ripley song.
To scream more? How do you...
Yeah, there should be more screaming. I wanted hands around the microphone, like... I want that noise.
Oh, yeah.
That's an attractive noise for podcast listeners.
That's true.
That's what I wanted.
It would be better with...
That's what I wanted.
The anti-ASMR.
Yes.
It needed to be more distorted. That's what was missing.
It just sounded like a nice lady singing along. You know, I don't... It didn't really sound like... The song. I was sad. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's how I knew she was going to win. So it's all okay.
This is the second straight two-night WrestleMania. Also the first time in over a year. 1 year, 1 month, 1 day since the WWE had been in front of actual a live audience. And there were plenty of shots of maskless people drinking beer and shouting enough to make me go, this whole thing was a fucking terrible idea. And they should have just canceled it if this is how they're going to enforce mask wearing. However,
Florida baby,
the show has earned a lot of positive reviews. My guess is that as we go through it, we're going to be pretty happy with a lot of what we saw. Very happy with some of it. But I wonder overall if this show will benefit historically from being the first one back that felt like this felt more like a normal WrestleMania than last year, where they had a completely empty stadium, like, you know, a performance center, not a stadium. They were in an empty building. They hadn't done the Thunderdome yet. They hadn't allowed the trainees to come in behind glass. Like, everybody was still figuring out. We were so early into the pandemic at that point that we hadn't figured out, or they hadn't yet figured out, how to make this feel like a live show. Does it feel like right now, if you sit and think about it for a second analytically, do you think that 5 years from now this will be as good a WrestleMania as we're remembering it in the moment because it was the first one? Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I should have waited.
No. Go.
I was just so viscerally.
Go ahead.
Say what's in your heart, Danielle.
Yeah, I just think it's going to go down the memory hole. Like, last year's is going to be one that folks remember, even if it wasn't just because, wow, what a weird fucking year we went through, but also because it had those two cinematic matches. Like, I think that really take everything else out of it and leave those two, and that would make it so that last year would be, like, just a super memorable WrestleMania. I think for this, obviously, there were big firsts because we're still hitting them, no matter whether the Oscars or wrestling, we're still hitting those big firsts you would think we'd already hit. So there will be that. But mostly, I think this whole period where we're in the squidginess It doesn't have a name, but that's the name now. The squidginess of, you know, some places are open and some aren't. Some people are vaccinated and some aren't. And you don't know, and all you know is what you see. I think that this is just going to be like one of those things where we're all ready to let this thing go, and we're not going to want to talk about it, and we're not going to want to deal with it. And so I think that this becomes something that, like I said, it goes in the memory hole. We're not going to want to look back at this except for a few of like the milestone matches. At least I mean, I could be wrong, but I feel that way with a lot of entertainment now, right. Now that it's like in that period of, oh, we're just, I don't, in a year or 2 years from now, I'm not going to look back on a Zoom show and want to watch it. Like, that's just not going to happen. We're all going to be ready to move on.
Seconded all of it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fine. And now we're done.
Well, let's talk about the most milestone of any milestone match that happened. This is the night one main event that captured the heart of millions, earned rave reviews all around, and that is Bianca Belair beating Sasha Banks for the SmackDown Women's title. You could probably count, being generous, on two hands the number of perfect matches that you can see out of WWE ever. And this, I think, is up there with them. Mm. But my God, every night since I saw it, I go to sleep with the sound of that braid whipping across Sasha's belly. Forget about not. I think you just let them slap their knees again, because it's not going to make any noise anywhere near as loud as that braid.
No, I'd love to see AEW make a joke out of this.
And now again, grabs the hair. Oh my God! How is Banks even functioning?
I was like, oh wow, how did they manage to get that sound effect in so quick? And then when I saw the replay, I'm like, Sasha, I am so sorry. I didn't know.
Holy.
Ow. Have we seen the welt develop over social media? I'd like to. I know that's creepy and wrong, but I'd like to.
Oh my God. She must be just like a walking bruise at this point.
I would be documenting it for everyone, just so everyone knew. Like, if I've got to live with it, you're all going to have to see it.
That's my Insta story every day until that thing heals.
That welt is getting its own 365. We're going to be able to see what happens to it starting with that night.
24 hours. Mm-hmm. The 24 hours of WrestleMania of the welt. Man, I'm still crying. I still can't think about the match without tearing up. Like, I'm still doing cries. I'm still doing small cries. It was amazing. Yeah.
I danced through Hal introducing this as though his words were a song. I danced right through it. Great match. Amazing performances. We all knew. And this is like when people say, oh, why does it matter? Why does it matter? Well, first of all, if it was any two black chicks in there, obviously it would matter. But it's like we know that the two of them are going to put on a show that is worth like all of the pizzazz and huzzow of, that's not a word.
It is now.
Huzzow. But yeah, just all of that, we knew that if you put those two women in this match, you were going to get a match that was going to stand up to the hype. And then it did. And I cried when they played the production, when a post did their thing and made it look wonderful. And then I cried when they came in, and then I cried when they both cried. And then I cried when Bianca won, and then I cried when we saw the behind the scenes of Sasha smiling and crying because of what they had just done. By that point, she'd already been given the belt. I cried yesterday when I watched it again before I watched night two, which I shouldn't have done that. That was a mistake.
I did the same thing.
Should have let night two rock on its own. Shouldn't have done that to it. That was my fault. And then, yeah, so it was just, should not have put that before night two. We'll get to that, I guess. But yeah, no, just two amazing wrestlers doing their thing. You get anybody with those two, that quality, you're going to get that quality of match, and it's going to be a memorable match forever. So the fact that it was, black folks, two women black folks doing the thing that hadn't been done before, it was just like a nice cherry on top, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and I read today they confirmed that Tyson Kidd produced the match, which somehow even manages to make it even better. Like, that made me even happier. Like, if anyone's producing that match, I'm like,
TJ.
Teach did it. And that made me really happy. I just thought it was such a the emotional side of it is so hard to remove. Like, it's so hard to take away how I responded to it as a fan and as a lady. And I'm like, this is important. And living in the world we live in, like, it's so hard to strip that away. But if you do, it's still such a well-told, brilliant match. Like, the story of it is still so strong. And they did the build pretty quickly. I know she's had it since the Rumble, but the actual antagonism between the two of them has been a relatively swift build. But I just thought the match in and of itself was so well told. Like, Sasha's saying she's arrogant, Bianca's showing her strength, you know, no one's underestimating each other once they're in the ring, once they're going for it. The hair storyline was chef's kiss. It was just so expertly told, and like that edge of brutality, that edge of emotion that felt like it could break at any second, that they were both so into it. They weren't trying to be pretty. They were just like there to fight that fight. It just all just lived in every second of it. I've watched it 3 times now, and I don't know how many more times I'm going to watch it, but it doesn't stop being brilliant however you try and analyze it. They just care so much, and you can feel every second.
Well, they're two very combustible personalities, those two characters, so they make sense that they would rub up against one another and you kind of have an instant reason for them to fight. That said, the psychology was top-notch. Like, it obviously very, very important match. But yeah, if you strip away all the things that make True Religion Jeans people mad, you still have a fantastic match. Like, it that you don't need to be someone with actual thoughts in your brain to understand and enjoy that match, which is a testament, like, again, like, they're good. It's not a surprise they had a great match. They're both really good. The one question mark I would have had going in is how is Bianca going to deliver on a really, really large stage like that? Like, she's been good. She's very good. But
picking Sasha up and carrying her over the head into the ring. That's how she's going to deliver.
She clean and jerked Sasha.
No doubt she's really good. I just think of how like young she is compared to. Like, I was like, I wonder how much Sasha might have to catch. Like, Sasha is capable of turning that into a great match all by herself. But she had a really good dance partner. It was just well executed. Everything you would expect from the two of them, and it was a really great feel good moment from the beginning. Even Michael Cole. Probably, I mean, obviously it's scripted, but say the first time two black women had, like, calling it out specifically what it was.
This is an historic moment. For the first time ever, two black women have a title match in the main event at WrestleMania. Banks versus Belair for the title.
And, you know, who else do you want to say that but Michael Cole?
Well, and honestly, like, when he botched the call at the end, that just added to it for me. Because I'm like, yeah, you fuck up, white man. You fuck up, Michael Cole. Please enhance how magical this match has been by being the straight white man sat at the announce booth fucking up. Like, that's totally fine. That only adds to this for me. Like, you dick.
Can you imagine how tough it was for him not to be able to just go, you know, the black one? You know, he didn't have a... He couldn't do that.
Yeah, I know.
He couldn't do that. Sorry,
no,
Michael.
It was a hard day for everyone.
Yeah.
It was a hard day for everyone involved.
It wouldn't be full of gaffes if it wasn't WrestleMania. You know, that's WrestleMania for you. Not only did the show close with a world title match, but it began with a world title match, that being Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre. Bobby Lashley coming out on top of that one. Also, really, really good, really hot opening. I thought they had a really great Hoss fight. They both look good. And more importantly than that, it doesn't feel like they used everything they could have against one another. So if there's another match, which you would imagine there might be, that there's more to give down the line. It didn't feel like a blow-off necessarily. But even if they don't wrestle for a while, this is a really, really good match to leave both of those guys off with. They both looked great.
Considering it came in off a rain delay, you know, because I was like, it wasn't my favorite match of the night, but they had the deck stacked so hard against them. They had to do all that vamping like for 35 minutes where they were like, who can we talk to backstage? And it's like, I don't know, everyone. And there's poor Drew just pacing, going like, oh, I'm even angrier now. And it's like, how much longer do I need to be angry specifically, Kayla? Specifically, how much longer do I need to stay this angry? And it's like, it's roughly around 35 to 38 minutes, Drew. And that can't have been easy. So I think to continue the momentum, to sustain the momentum they had backstage and put on that match and still pull the timing somewhat back together, like, fair play to the lads. I would have liked to have seen some more body paint. That's my only comment. That's my only comment.
I almost wonder if he was like, oh, I definitely don't want all of this to get rained off on because dudes don't know how body paint works.
He knows how hair dye works. So I don't know. I don't know.
Drew for men. Yeah.
Cesaro finally got his first solo match at a WrestleMania in the 500 years he's been there. But he also gets the win over Seth Rollins, swinging him 23 times. Felt more like 22 and a half, but what do I know? No, it was great. It was great to see him get a win. It feels weird. As I watch like WWE giving him props for it, it feels to me like they're just giving themselves props. Like they could have done this any number of years.
Yeah, it feels weird to see. This is it. They're like going, oh, isn't it amazing? And it's like, but it's your fault that it took this long to give the man this thing. The man that everyone loves so much. It took you a really long time to give him the thing that we wanted. So why are you applauding yourselves, you dickwads?
Yeah.
They always do this shit as if they're not the ones in charge of literally anything. Oh, no. Who's been holding Cesaro back? Oh, I don't know. Vince, probably you're standing there with your arms wide out and him peeking over them. So who could possibly be
literally the fella who gave an interview and said, I don't know why you can't connect. And it's like, because of you. Because of you. Like, give the man the microphone and let him speak one of his five languages and connect with people all around the world, you dick. I was so happy. This was the moment in night one when I was like, we're going to get all the things that we want. And I am going to leave this WrestleMania with a smile on my face. Thank you, Seth, for like taking your lumps. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, he came there, he showed up, he did a good job doing he did the job. He helped elevate Cesaro. Good job on him.
Yeah.
Them swings. I can't imagine. I mean, I know things are worked, but you can't work being swung
be
around
so
that
dizzy.
Many times.
So dizzy.
I would be sick. I would be lady sick, like my cat just was 2 minutes before we started recording. I would be sick, and it would not be good. I don't know how they don't do that.
And then you have to stand up and take the neutralizer.
Right? Oof. And the UFO? Like, that's not comfortable either. Like, it looks so cool, though. It looks so cool, though.
The Tag Team Turmoil series that saw Tamina and Natalya come out on top to go on to wrestle in night two was fine. That was probably the...
It was totally
I would
fine.
Call that the Castor Oil wet fart of the night, but it's fine. It was nice to see everybody do
fine.
A little bit. It just what like... It just felt like a match that should have taken place 3-4 weeks ago so we could get an actual program together out of it.
Yeah. I for sure would have booked that to SmackDown or over the last few weeks of both shows and had both shows have people cross over and done it that way and just had one tag team match. And then I would have had a women's battle royal. Because you don't need a reason. Because a lot of people were like, well, they can't do the Bad Lady Battle Royal. And it's like, well, you don't actually need a reason to do a Battle Royal. It's WrestleMania. You can just say everyone needs to get paid. So they're all going in the ring at the same time. And then everyone gets to do their little thing. And people don't get exposed for being not quite as talented as other people. Which was my only downside to this match, is that you get to see the weaker spots and the weaker links. And... You don't need to. You didn't need to. Could have been done differently, but I'm also glad everyone worked. You know, like I like it when everyone works.
And hey,
pity poor Peyton Royce.
Do you think next week or next year they'll have self-drying ramps so Mandy Rose doesn't slip and fall again?
Poor Mandy. But good on Mandy for taking it with such good humor on social media. Bitches be slipping.
Oh, you have
bitches
to.
Bitches be slipping, Mandy.
You have to.
Hashtag bitches be slipping. Yeah.
New Day briefly reunited, which was real nice to see Big E come out to announce them. Losing their tag titles to AJ Styles and Omos. Omos looked great. It was a really good debut for him. It was smart to wait until WrestleMania to bring him out. But my favorite part of the match is Xavier Woods being loud enough and saying how great they are at tag team wrestling. I'm a tag team wrestler. I am effectively cutting the ring in half.
New Day's doing here. They're keeping AJ Styles a long way away from Omos.
Indeed, isolated in their corner and
we
far
are effectively
away from
cutting the ring in half.
Well, that's what they're doing. Yeah. You were going there, right?
I was going there. I had Xavier actually handle that for me. It was nice of him.
AJ, this is why you are not a tag team wrestler.
Commentary and wrestling.
He does good work.
They're so great. And Xavier's so good at what he does. So smart, so entertaining. and like the perfect thing for the for both all the non-mask wearing shouters in the audience, but also those of us watching at home, like added a layer to that, which is really nice.
Delightful.
Two more things to talk about at night one, and then we'll get out of here. One of them is Braun versus Shane in a steel cage.
I didn't hate it.
It was fine.
Like, you know, the only thing I didn't like about it was the anti-bullying stance that they gave to Braun, because I'm like, A, he's a bully. He actively bullied independent wrestlers who like were trying to make a living last year.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. I don't enjoy Adam Scher. I don't mind Braun Strowman, but I don't enjoy Adam Scher. Mm. And also, I don't like that side of it. I don't like that version of him. It feels too sincere and earnest. It was very close to Nicholas Braun. And unless they're going to bring Nicholas back out and they're going to wrestle AJ and Omos, I don't need earnest, sincere,
yeah.
I'm here for anyone who's ever been called stupid, Braun. I don't need that. Also, like, it just felt really weird to lean into that part of the audience to be like, this is for everyone out there who was ever super strong and athletic and huge,
yeah,
but got called dumb. Because I'm like, do you know who the bullies were? It was those guys. Those guys are the bullies. I'm like, who's out there saying, like, well, for anyone who was ever, like, actually smart,
yeah,
but physically destroyed and bullied and picked on for their entire lives, we don't have a wrestler for you. But we do have a wrestler in case you were very tall and very athletic, but someone once called you dumb.
Yeah,
we got someone for you.
Finally, all of the people who are able to flip an ambulance by themselves have a voice.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank
Finally.
God, Hal.
Yeah. That's
justice
all we've been waiting
for ambulance
just our
flippers. I don't like that Braun. I'm
who
sorry.
Will think of the yoked millionaires?
Yeah, they came for the yoked millionaires and I said nothing.
Yeah, where were you?
Because I was not a yoked millionaire. You know, whenever you bring a celebrity out to participate in a match, it can go one of two ways and one of two ways only. And that is utter embarrassment and a prayer that it will be over soon. Or the thought of the brief thought, even if just for a moment, for a second to think, I think this person could work on the main roster if you just brought them in and kept them there. Stephen Amell was in the latter category, and Bad Bunny. Snooki was better.
Snooki
and Maria
with
Menounos,
that handspring elbow.
They were both
beautiful.
Better than you thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
And you know who's actually... Menounos was decent because she's a huge WWE fan. And so is Bad Bunny. And he looked great. But also, can we give a ton of credit to Miz and Morrison? Like, Miz sold that whole match all the way through. The surprise on his face. Oh, it was beautiful.
I just thought it was a really good match, period. Like,
yeah.
It was a great celebrity match,
mm-hmm,
but it was also just a really fun, well-told tag match. It was like, it was so long, because I kept being like, it's going to be over in a second. He's got his shit in. He looks good.
Yep.
And it just kept going, and his moveset just kept getting more and more impressive.
Yeah.
There was double red, the arrows they did,
yeah,
that
Falcon
was like
arrows,
incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Falcon arrows. I was going to say red arrows, but that's the aeroplanes, you guys. Brits listening, they know. But it's like when they did the double Falcon arrow, when he did his bunny destroyer,
yeah,
I was quietly dying, and it wasn't quiet. But he was so good. Can't wait to see him in Best of Super Juniors this year. Like, fully, fully should have New Japan on the phone, because he could walk into that this year, you guys. He could walk in and place. Like, that's all I'm saying.
It was really beautiful. Like, it was even, like, him doing a tope and just, like, everything looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you get successful and rich. Because then you get to play with all of your toys in real life and actually get to do something with it. And, like, you know, a lot of people... Well, who's bad? But just because you don't know who someone popular is doesn't mean the entire rest of the world doesn't. This was huge for WWE. It was a much bigger, more relevant call than the thing that happened the next night for Scherzes. And it just made me think about what my famous celebrity move would be. And like I said, I think I would train with Kendrick, and it would be sliced rad number two. That would be.
You'd be right to do that. And he's local too, so it's entirely possible.
Yeah,
it's so possible. If I ever get famous and get a new back.
Right?
Watch
and
out,
then
Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny got rewarded with a magically put together Hitachi magic wand from Triple H in that little vignette. which was very confusing to me because I genuinely didn't know what it was when he first gave it to him. I'm like, oh, it's a microphone.
For masturbating.
But it looks just like a giant vibrator.
Oh, just like it.
And the way they had put the suitcase together with the foam padding, but there wasn't enough padding on the bottom, so they'd had to like stuff a bit more in. It looked really shonky and cheap and shit. But he'd given him a skull vibrator.
You know,
and I don't know if he asked Steph if he could give him that. But,
well, that's,
you know?
That is a licensed product. It's a Stone Cold Hitachi wand. And as they say, as Austin says, when you're done with this, the skull won't be the only thing that's broken. It wasn't a good Stone Cold, but that's
great.
Fine.
It was good enough.
It's fine.
And that's all that matters.
We got the joke out. Like that's all that matters. But that, if that had been all, then Dayenu, as they say, in Hebrew, especially around Pesach. But if you have anything to say about what we've discussed so far, the conversation continues on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Discord. But that was not all. There was a whole second night, and when we come back, we're going to dissect night 2 of WrestleMania 37. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Are you riddled with guilt over your TBR pile?
Are you filled with shame about a book that you just can't seem to finish?
Are you having regrets because grad school killed your love of reading?
We're Reading Glasses, and we're here to help.
I'm Mallory.
And I'm Bria.
Let us absolve you of all your reading guilt.
Stuck on a book you don't like?
We'll help you dump it.
Can't figure out what to read next?
We'll recommend something in your wheelhouse.
Can't decide where to buy your books from?
We'll point you in the right direction.
No matter what you read or how you read it,
we'll help you do it better.
Reading Glasses, every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk.
Let's get straight to night 2 of WrestleMania. Now, according to Twitter, which is where we go to get all of our opinions on everything, this night was inferior to night number 1. I would say it did not have the highs of night number 1, but I overall, as of top to bottom, I think it might have more consistency of quality. The highs weren't as high. The lows weren't as low. Let's be honest, the worst thing about it is the Nigerian drum match. Only because it was a Nigerian drum match, that shit didn't have to be at all. But those two dudes worked real hard and had a good match, even though the conceit of it felt like something you would see in a Bugs Bunny cartoon that is not allowed to be shown anymore. Like, it felt like it came from that family of thought.
One of those ones where Whoopi Goldberg has to, like, say some harsh truths before you get to watch the one you want to see.
You turn on the Disney Plus and then it's like, I wasn't expecting to see you, but I'm now going to listen to what you have to say. my main issue with that match was it was not well communicated what it was or what it was gonna be, because I'm like, it's a drum match, and then like, wait, what does that mean? It's like, dunno. And I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. And then Corey Graves was like, it's nothing to do with the drum, it's about beating a man like a drum. I'm like, oh, so there's no drums? And then they panned out and there's fucking loads of drums.
Yeah.
So I'm like, now I just feel like I'm being gaslit. Now I don't know if there's drums. Were there drums? Is it even a drum match? What is going on here? Why is there a fucking gong? Like, it's not a percussion match. There's a gong and there's a lot of kendo sticks. And like,
there's a vibraphone.
It's a vibraphone. There was a tambourine, a triangle. Like, it seemed very confusing to me, and I did not care for the ending, not because I don't think it could go well, but I tweeted about this, and I tweeted about it in relation to a match that had gone on earlier in the night that I'm sure we've got thoughts on. I don't feel like Mania is the place to bring in surprises or ask questions. Like, at Mania, I want my questions answered, and I was super fine for this to go past this one match. I want to see these dudes fight all summer long. I want to see this go again. But I didn't want to see it go at Mania with interference. And I just felt like it surprised me. It felt like it put the pacing off. And I felt like it wasn't fair on the two dudes that have done a ton of work to then have a guy come in and be like, who's this guy? And I'm like, oh, I don't like who's this guy at WrestleMania. I like who's this guy at the Raw after Mania, or on the SmackDown before Mania. but I don't like it at Mania. And also not enough drums.
Yeah, I have to do the, I got to do the research on that to see if that's not like an actual drums. Cultural thing or if that was like a, let's just do a thing to do a thing. See, when Big Hoss Dude came out, I didn't mind it because it was like, it still saves E and E, you know, E, which is like, E doesn't lose by not having interference either. He's fucking Big E. Like, yeah. there's really, you'd have to have a fucked up day to find a way to like, fuck up E. So I didn't mind it at first. But then it was that thing of like, well, I guess tomorrow I'll find out why any of that happened. But I do, you know, Apollo needs a belt. I'm really happy that he won it. Yeah, it would have. Yeah, like he does need it. We'll see. We've got a lot of large black heaters happening now.
It's beautiful.
I'm keeping a cautious eye on it is all I will say.
See, that was another part of it that felt an issue to me, and not for the reasons that it might be in the future, but I was like, we just saw this, you know, and I want Apollo to be strong, and I'm not against him having a team. I'm a little bit uncomfortable with the military gear. Like, I was a little bit like, oh, he found a general and they're going to use the accent and it's going to be real awkward and real uncomfortable, and it's just tiptoeing around a part of this story that I've been afraid of. I don't have a lot of faith in them to tell it respectfully. And that's why I'm singing, because I'm nervous. But I have hope. I believe in Apollo and I believe in Big E. I just don't believe in anybody else.
I like Apollo having a heater. I think it makes a ton of sense. I think it makes more sense for him to have a heater than AJ to have a heater, frankly. Like AJ.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because AJ does not need it. It makes Uncle Alan look like a sloppy old man, right? Is anyone else confused why Uncle Alan is now a sloppy old man?
Yeah, it feels like they changed the fundamental piece of his character by giving him a 7'5" or however tall that guy is.
Yeah.
Phenomenal AJ Styles, who is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Right.
But now he's just gonna let this fella do some stuff. And you're like, wait, what?
But
this doesn't make any sense.
Put Omos with Apollo, and that makes a ton of sense. And this other dude coming in, who I forget the other name he was wrestling under. I know he was a former football player. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it happening at WrestleMania because I'm used to everything happens at the Raw after WrestleMania. Why not have that happen here?
I just don't like my questions at WrestleMania. I like my answers at WrestleMania.
The other choice there is Apollo loses. He either has to cheat to win, which is hard to do in a no DQ match, like to really gain an edge, or he loses and that character is toast. They figured out a way.
I don't think he had to lose. I think he could have won clean and it still could have been good. Like, I don't think...
Not for Big E.
It could have been brutal. It could have been ugly. It could have been shenanigans. He could have, like, piled him with drums, or he could have, like, tied him to the drum with a kendo stick. I don't fucking know. But I just don't think it needed to be another big dude. The only thing that I don't like about it is I feel like it weakens Apollo, who has been like coming in and saying, I am super strong, I am super powerful, I can do all of this.
But he's also a heel, so that he should be lying.
No, I know that, but I just feel like it's too early in the development of that character. And if you're saying that character is a strong, powerful, like incredible, like, you know, everything they've been saying about him, but then to have him say, but I need this guy to help me beat Big E. I don't hate that it saves Big E. I just don't love what it does to Apollo's character. But I also just, you know, drums are silly. They could have just had a different kind of match. Like, it would have been fine.
Let's talk about a character that's had a very long time to develop, which is Sheamus, who won the U.S. title from Riddle. I forgot his name. I was going to say Tom Riddle, but I know that's Harry Potter.
That is.
I know his name is Matt. I know.
He should not.
I know. That was a fine match. He caught him in the face at the end.
Full disclosure,
ouch.
It's when I went to make my dinner. That is when I went to make my tea.
Oh, you didn't see Riddle
get
kicked in the face?
But then I rewatched it today. Ugh. I did actually came back in right as that happened and giggled. Like, I'm a horrible person. But I did chuckle because I think Matt Riddle's probably trash.
We also had Nia Jax and Shayna retaining their titles over Natalya and Tamina. Hey, good news. Good job, Tamina, being over with the crowd.
I loved it.
Right.
I loved it.
Nice to see.
It was really, really nice. And like, I like the her and Natty together. It's just, yeah, it's been really nice watching people give Tamina some love, because I know that she's gotten a lot of like some valid points with criticism, but then some like not so much. So I'm just happy if this is her last big run And who knows, she could be around forever, because really they mostly just use her to stand behind someone else and have her arms crossed. So if they decide that they want to do that with her again, then she could be here for until the end of time. But if this is like the last big wrestling kind of run that she has, this would be a good one for her, because you people are finally giving her some of that love and them chants.
Hasn't it felt like every time she comes back that it's going to be her last run?
It does. And I hate to put that on her, because that's like...
No. Yeah, of course.
That's why I wanted them to win. I did really want them to win. I wanted them to have those belts. I did. And I just, I don't know if Nia and Shayna need those belts, or if Nia and Shayna even need to be a tag team anymore. Like, I don't, it's not for me. I love Shayna. Yeah. Let Shayna run wild and free from problematic Nia Jax. Like, run away. I just want Natty to get a belt for a minute, because Natty's been there so long and worked so hard, and I can only imagine what TJ has to listen to at home and those cats. Oof. You know, like, they are suffering. My every goodness. Day that Natty does not have a championship, everyone in that house is suffering. I think it was time for a title change, and we didn't get it.
Well, you know, you mentioned problematic people. Now might be a good time to talk about Logan Paul.
There's no good time. I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to cut you off. No one should have to hear that man's name on a wrestling podcast or any other podcast.
I agree with you. I've been on that bandwagon for a very long time. Very, very. Before any of the other stuff. Before like he really started to be revealed as human, as just a piece of trash, I've been anti the Paul family strongly and openly willing to talk about it at any time.
I had to explain Logan Paul to someone over text, like a friend. And so I was just like, so imagine if the most popular YouTuber, or imagine if Vince or someone saw the most popular YouTuber of 4 years ago today and said, you know what? I think that we could make some money together. Like, that was the closest I could come to being like, this is what Paul is. He is very obnoxious, was incredibly popular during his peak, but that peak has passed. Hence why he is on WrestleMania.
So passed. Right. I can't work out how it came to be. Like, I don't know who it was in the meeting that was like, this guy. Is it because he did the boxing thing? So they thought they could translate it easily. I mean, I know why he would do it, because he's desperate and pathetic and needs attention and relevance at all times, which I know actually does sound like a lot like some people in wrestling. But like, it made me so angry. And it was not a natural fit to this match. It made no sense to this match. It put a blemish on my two dear boys. I don't know how many times Sammy had to shower himself in scalding water and bleach to clean himself of this filth. That poor boy. And the only downside to it to me is that it, like, that stunner did not hurt him enough. He did not bounce high enough off the fucking ground. That absolute scumbag. I don't like him, guys. I don't like him.
That aside, what did you think of the match between the two guys?
Yeah, match was okay, wasn't it? I mean, it's Sammy and Kevin. It was always going to be good. Mm-hmm. It gave me my PWG energy that I wanted. Like, it was bouncy and throwy and lots of droppies on the headsies, which I don't usually love, but I trust those two boys so much. Like, I know that they love each other more than anything else in the whole wide world. When Kevin went to see his little family at the end, I did a cry. It's so much crying. Ugh. I don't know if it had Mania energy.
Right.
But part of that was stolen by constantly cutting to that utter shit stain sat ringside and his terrible reaction shots.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The next one is going to be the opener of night two, which is Randy Orton against The Fiend, who came out in a big Jack in the Box. And Alexa Bliss was there, and then she was squirting. She had like the SNL tubes in her hair, squirting ink everywhere.
But I mean, you could practically see her squeezing the thing.
Yeah. Like, and she distracted The Fiend long enough for Randy Orton to hit the RKO and get the win.
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing with this. I have no idea where is this going? What are they doing? What possible next steps could they be? Because if this is Mania, and that means that all that they have is Bray in a box, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. The ink thing is dumb as shit, but that's why I loved it. Because it's like, you know what? Like, just do... Because that's what I want. What I want with this thing is... They're already pretty deep into whatever it is they're doing. I want them to either get even fucking weirder or it's just got to stop. And so I don't know what to do. There's like fireballs. There's everything. I don't know how you resolve this in a way that any of them recover from it. Randy will be fine. Yeah.
Randy left. Randy put on his white panties and looked like he was running to join the gray sweatpants battle royal. like got out of there, right? And I liked the Jack in a Box. I was like, oh, this motif is smart. Like they've been doing the Funhouse. Yeah. Jack in a Boxes are inherently creepy. This is clever. I was upset when he rose out of it very slowly and didn't do a full Destiny's Child at the Super Bowl bounce up. Because I'm like, I'm sorry, if those bitches could do that in 6-inch heels, you could fucking do this in wrestling boots, Bray. That felt a little bit disappointing. But yeah, what you doing? It was also like the pacing of it felt so strange and just, I don't know. Unless this ends in Alexa versus Bray, what do they even do? What do they do?
Yeah, they got to figure it out.
Is he going to be her minion now or do we just go fully, he has to wrestle her?
Yeah.
I
think he has to wrestle her.
Because eventually Alexa's going to go back to being some version of the Alexa Bliss that she has always been. Like this creepy box girl is not how it's going to end for her, whereas Bray is creepy forever. And unless the next step is biker Bray, I don't know what the fuck we're going to do. You know?
Yeah.
Swamp badass, whatever.
Yeah, we got to do something. Like, shit or get off the pot. It's about time. It's about time.
Yeah. Fair.
Rhea Ripley finally got her coronation and beat Asuka to become the new Raw Women's Champion. Again, fantastic match. It was great. Could have had more of a build, but they're both really, really good. And the package, the video package, made it feel like they've been feuding for like 12 months. It's so good.
I thought it was really well told. Holy really crap. Well told story.
Oh my God, so good.
Texts I got from just that, like people who had been lapsed or hadn't been around and didn't watch NXT. From the moment that she winked, I was getting texts from everyone, like, who is this? Who is she? Yeah. Rhea was and Asuka's already a star, but Rhea was a star.
Yeah.
A star.
Yeah.
She's very
special. I
thought
they did such a good job of telling the story of making Asuka come out so strong and almost making Rhea look dumb. Like they had Asuka come out and be the veteran and be wily and be fast and be quick and show that Rhea doesn't know everything. And I thought that was done so, so perfectly well. Jeff and I were watching it and he was just like, oh my God, maybe Asuka's going to win this. And I'm like, you sweet, sweet summer child. She came out with a band. Like she don't lose when you come out with a band. But it was like, they did such a good job of making it really feel like Asuka could, because I'm like, what's going to happen? Rhea's going to get a power move and then the match will shift. And that's what happened, is like she had that moment where she just physically started to dominate the match. And after that, it was just a brawl. I could watch them keep going. Like, I am very happy to watch this again. Mm-hmm. I am very happy to watch this go and go. I don't know if we're going to get that because of Raw.
Yeah.
But I want it. I want it. But Rhea looked like an absolute star and it made me really happy to see my baby. I say that's my baby and I'm so proud. That's what I say.
All right, now let's get to the main event. Triple threat match between Roman Reigns, who came in as the Universal Champion, facing off against both Daniel Bryan and Edge. Now this match could have gone several different ways and any one of them would have been perfectly acceptable. And this may be where we all part ways, because I think that ending was absolutely perfect. I love that Roman character. Yeah, you fucking pinned both of those motherfuckers. Now who's going to beat you? You thought he was bad before with his attitude. Now watch what happens. Because it's got to come from it can't come from somebody being better than him. It has to come from him being like so full of himself that he doesn't think he can be beaten, and we're not there yet. He's still like, this character is still coming from this place of like, I'm going to prove this to you. Like, obviously he doesn't believe what he says, that there's insecurity there that drives the character. So the guy honestly hasn't had a bad match in a very, very, very long time. And you put him in there with those two guys and it's going to be practically impossible. Edge looked fantastic. Daniel Bryan looked fantastic. Everybody did their job. Jay looked fantastic. Mm. It can't be to the level of Sasha and Bianca. It can't. You cannot top that match. But this was, for what it needed to be, for me, I would not have changed a thing.
Hmm.
I know you don't feel the same way, because I watched it the day after all of you, and I would check my phone and have 79 new messages. and I can't have 79 new messages.
Is there a way to add you onto our hell list text chain?
Like, yes.
After the fact.
So I just saw.
So you can see what happened.
I'll let you guys speak to what you think. But that was my opinion. I came out of it really happy and like, fucking yeah, what a great way to move that character forward. And it makes more sense for him to walk out of that with the title than anybody else. Especially in a triple threat.
This is another one I've like, my thoughts have gone back and forth on it, because sometimes I'm like, you do not edge, you leave my edge alone. You know, like, so in some points, like, I feel like that. But sometimes it is like pinning both of them at the same time is objectively cool. Even if like you might not like it because of who it was or whatever, it is just objectively cool to do to people like that. That almost came out really horny and wrong.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I had to do a switch. I had to do a last minute pivot, my friends. Last minute pivot. Woo-hoo.
But you're right, Daniel. It is objectively cool. Like, it just is. Like smoking and swearing. Right? It's just objectively cool to do to people like that.
I'm the worst.
So, like, no, I feel the same. I feel the same. Looking at it now in hindsight, and like, I get it. It makes sense. Like, even having Edge take such a heel turn to his character and lean into that ultimate opportunism in the build-up adds to it, because you don't feel as bad about Edge not getting his moment when he's not being earnest, crying in the corner, I've fought for this. He's being angry. I deserve this, Edge. So it's easier not to empathize with him as much in his loss. The Daniel Bryan addition to it, like, you know, that was just... I liked it, but you didn't feel bad for Daniel Bryan for not losing. You felt bad for Edge not losing. And they'd taken away some of your feeling bad by having him be, you know, more of a heel in this situation. Watching it at the time, my feeling was where Sasha and Bianca succeeded was because it was a fantastic match, fantastically told, with all the emotional gut punch as well. Where this felt less satisfying is because it was a fantastic match with a great ending, with a really interesting story, which is a where does it go from here? This is going to be fascinating to watch. But it took away that satisfaction. It took away the emotional gratification. That to me is the WrestleMania moment that I go for. And the WrestleManias I've attended, the ones that have felt less than satisfying at the end is when you get that ending where it's not the fan favorite ending. Mm. It's not giving everyone their ice cream at the end of the meal. You know, it's like, oh, we were going to get ice cream, but we actually got these Italian wafer cookies to see what they're like. And no one really wanted them. They wanted ice cream. We said we were going to get ice cream, and these might be tasty, and I might enjoy them in a more sophisticated manner in the long run, but I wanted ice cream. And it reminded me a lot of WrestleMania 30 versus WrestleMania 34, the two New Orleans manias, and leaving WrestleMania 30 on that Daniel Bryan high and like walking back into New Orleans, and everyone was totally buzzing and screaming and chanting and happy and gloriously, gloriously happy, versus walking back after the Reigns Brock Lesnar match when literally like you could have heard a pin drop. Mm. People were just walking down the street like in the shitting down rain, which didn't help. But people were literally just walking down the street and like, huh. And, you know, the Daniel Bryan win, everyone went out on the street and everyone partied and everyone had a great time. And then that one, everyone went home. Like, everyone went back to the hotel and they're like, well, got an early start tomorrow. And I just think that was probably part of it. Like, if I'd been there, I'd have been pissed. I would have been pissed off. But from a larger story perspective, I'm totally down to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, this is, we're more at the beginning of a story, or maybe the middle than the end, but really the beginning. That Daniel Bryan, you need... at like a 9-month run-up to get that Daniel Bryan story. And really, it started, what, the year before? Mm. A year before that was,
yeah,
when he lost?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really compare it to WrestleMania 30. And I'm not comparing it storyline-wise. I'm comparing it emotional delivery-wise.
Yeah.
Like, and they could, if they had just let Edge win and had if they had it be good guy Edge versus bad guy Roman and not made it any more complicated than that, if Roman had beaten Edge, I think everyone would have been up in arms, because it's like you took away the moment that we have been waiting for and waiting for and waiting for. And there's a time to take away that moment. There are pay-per-views when it's absolutely the right thing to fuck with people and have the good guy lose and have the bad guy win, because that means when the good guy wins in the long run, it's even more rewarding. But with it being Mania, that would have been so much harder. As I say, I think they did a really interesting job of building the story and making the story more complex and more sophisticated.
Yeah.
By adding Daniel Bryan, by having Edge play that in-between role of like going behind everyone's back and being classic sneaky Edge, which credit to him and his acting chops for like really pulling that off.
Mm-hmm.
Like Edge is doing amazing work. And I wanted to see Edge get that belt. I want it so bad. I do want it. And I think we will see it. If he wants it, he will get it. Like that's the thing. There's no part of this storyline where someone's being shafted.
Yeah.
Because if Edge goes into Vince and says, I'm fucking leaving.
Sorry.
Two dudes.
This is why we like two dudes. You get the emotional.
This is why we like two dudes. You get three dudes and it's a confusing shafting. So, you know, if Edge had gone in and said, you give it me or I don't come back, he would have got it. Like, Edge is in on this. Daniel Bryan's in on this. Everyone's on board with this storyline. I don't feel like anyone went backstage and cried or threw a tantrum or was upset about it.
No.
So I'm totally willing to give it its due. I just, you know, felt slightly shortchanged at the end of the end of the end of my Mania. But then I got RJ City after dark, so it wasn't the end of my Mania. It wasn't the end of my Mania.
Yeah, you'll never get the emotional impact out of a triple threat that you will a one-on-one match. And also the build is different. Like, there are a lot of factors. I feel like if you come away from it and if the biggest criticism someone has is that's not the match I wanted to see, that is way better than this was a really bad match. Because then we're just I would have liked this because it's what I prefer. And that's
welcome
totally
to wrestling.
Fine. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's
enjoy never getting what you want, you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Night one was an aberration. Night one was not normal. You're not supposed to get that many things that you like.
You know?
It's not how it goes.
We had a second night that ended with all of us disappointed. Wrestling is healing, you guys. Like, the earth is healing. We're back to getting this wrestling. WrestleMania's where maybe we walk away a little cranky.
Yeah, the highs get high and the lows get low, but the middles, that's where we live.
Creamy, creamy middle.
Yeah. That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Danielle Radford and Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Hal Loveland, who you can find on Twitter at Hal Loveland and most other social media, and who you can see with the Thrilling Adventure Hour on Saturday, the 24th. I hope I have the date right. You can find all the correct information at HouseSeats.live. Brand new show. Should be a lot of fun. Don't miss it. Danielle?
Yeah, you can just find me at Danielle Radford on Twitter. I'm usually plugging my stuff on there. I've got something cool coming up that I can't announce yet, so I will let y'all know. It'll be another way to watch me as if I wasn't already fucking everywhere. I am the worst. That being said, you know, check out Honest Trailers. I help write them, and they turn out pretty funny. I'm proud of them. So that's about it. Oh, and Danielle_Radford on Instagram. I'm back on wanting new clothes. So if I get to 10, then I can get the swipe up, and then someone can give me some clothes. Give me clothes.
Lindsay?
I mean, I just want to second Danielle again, because I also want her to get new clothes, because then maybe I can get some of those clothes. So like, it's not entirely altruistic, you guys. But also at Lindsay Kelk on all of social medias. And Cinders and Sparks Magic at Midnight is out now in the US of A.
Hey.
And I believe Canada. Hey. So buy a book I wrote for your children. It's appropriate, I swear. So many people have messaged me and say, is it though? And I'm like, no, it is. It is. Like, a major publisher published it. They wouldn't let it out if it wasn't. It's their jobs. It's not mine. It's theirs. Cinders and Sparks, Magic at Midnight. Out now.
Our producer, Julian Burrell, hopes no one got sick at WrestleMania. I hope if they do, they do not go home. Just stay there and heal. You can hang out, shelter in place at Raymond James Stadium. You obviously think it's very important to be there. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Links to all of those are in our show notes. If you love what we do, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. And hey, thank you so much to the Max Fun members who make this show possible. The drive is coming up soon. Get ready. And in the meantime, you can show your support at any moment by buying our t-shirt and wearing it on your body. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.